This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Here's your money briefing for Tuesday, July 27th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. For a lot of families, broadband internet service is a basic necessity. It allows us to work from home, pay the bills online, even order groceries, not to mention checking out movies on streaming services. But escalating monthly costs of internet service are tearing a hole in household budgets.
These companies bank on customers setting and forgetting payment for their bills and never really thinking to scrutinize them until there's a sudden price hike and you may be paying, you know, double or triple what you initially signed up for.
So what can consumers do to lower their monthly bill? Turns out a lot. We'll ask WSJ personal technology columnist Nicole Wen about that after the break.
High inflation has impacted many of us. But what happens when prices go up 55, 67, or even 276%? It makes living more costly.
Rents are getting crazy expensive here.
It eats into your paycheck.
At the end of the day, the salary itself, it's not enough.
And money quickly loses value.
You can't stay, you can't do anything.
Check out our new series on extreme world inflation from A to Z on the PM edition of What's News, Fridays this April.
A recent study by the New America's Open Technology Institute found that Americans pay more on average for broadband than many parts of Europe and Asia. When you add in all the other costs that have shot up recently, it's putting a lot of pressure on household budgets. But there are ways Americans can dial back some of those broadband charges. WSJ personal technology columnist Nicole Wen looked into what's driving costs higher and steps you can take to lower your monthly bill. Hi, Nicole. Thanks for being with us.
Hi.
So, you know, Nicole, families have made sacrifices here or there during the pandemic, but broadband service is not something a lot of people can do without.
Absolutely. Internet is essential. The pandemic proved that learning and working from home requires having a high-speed and stable internet connection. And the effect that monopoly or oligopoly, even if it's regional, has on consumers is that price becomes a barrier to entry. And a Wall Street Journal analysis actually found that low-income and rural areas get worse deals than their high-income and urban counterparts, if only because they're not incentivized to invest in infrastructure in those areas and there's lack of competition there.
Now, a lot of broadband customers have seen their monthly bills increase for essentially the same level of service. So what's behind these rising costs?
A lot of the researchers in this space point to effectively a lack of competition and the continued consolidation of a lot of telecom companies, most recently T-Mobile and Sprint, but that's also happening in the broadband space. And although there are a handful of major nationwide internet providers and also regional providers, they've essentially carved up the country in ways that give them, if not a monopoly, an oligopoly. An oligopoly is a state of limited competition in which a market is shared by a small number of providers, which is what most Americans face today. They usually have a choice between one or two cable providers.
Now, you've heard from people who sort of shudder when they open their monthly bill. Well, what have they told you?
A lot of folks that I've spoken to for this column were blindsided by sudden price hikes. Some signed up for internet, didn't realize that they were signing up for an introductory price, a promotional rate that expired suddenly after 2 years. That two-year expiration date was somewhere in the fine print, but not explicitly in their bill. And so when it came time to a price hike, there was no warning, and they experience increasing rates every year. And it's unclear what the rate they're paying is, whether or not it's promotional, and when that date expires. Other folks that I've talked to have said that providers have signed them up for speed upgrades without their consent and have confusing bills that make it hard to discern whether or not they're paying promotional pricing and when that promotional pricing expires.
Okay, so what do the internet companies say about these issues?
A Comcast spokesperson told me that they notify customers several times before they receive their first bill, but even though they deny that their bill is confusing, they are rolling out a redesign of their bill, which emphasizes that promotional pricing and when that promotional pricing ends, because it's clearly not working for people who are continually surprised by the fact that their internet keeps going up every year.
All right, so let's talk about how consumers can try to rein in these costs. Broadband companies often tack on extra charges based on faster speeds, but are consumers necessarily locked into that? How can they figure out what speed is best for their usage levels?
Yeah, many Americans are overpaying for high-speed plans. A 2019 Wall Street Journal analysis actually found that most households only use a fraction of the bandwidth that they're paying for. Many internet service providers market speeds up to, you know, blazing fast speeds, 300 megabytes per second or more. And really, even if you're streaming 4K video, you're not hitting that bandwidth. Although they may have changed during the pandemic as we are all working and learning from home. And so a lot of experts recommend at least 10 megabits per second download speeds and at least 1 megabit per second upload speeds per person working from home in a household. And if you're paying anything beyond that, the difference is really indiscernible. A lot of households also aren't getting the speeds that are being marketed to them. And an easy way to determine that is to use fast.com or a website called Ookla that measures real-time speeds that you're getting at any given moment.
Now, there are usually a list of fees on the monthly bill, and among them are rental costs for equipment from the broadband company, you know, like a router. Are customers required to use the company's equipment?
Absolutely not. People are not required to use company-provided equipment, which are equipment rentals are ancillary fees that are very profitable for internet service providers. But you can buy your own modem and router, and these usually have a high upfront cost, maybe a couple $100 for an upgraded fancy mesh network system and between $40 and $80 for a modem, but you'll easily recoup that money within a couple of years because these equipment rentals can cost you between $10 and $20 a month. You can end up paying hundreds of dollars for a modem that only costs $40 to begin with.
Now, how about people putting on their negotiator's hat and calling the broadband company? You know, getting a customer service rep on the phone and saying, hey, these fees are out of control, but what can you do for me?
A lot of bill negotiation experts I spoke to said that these companies bank on customers setting and forgetting payment for their bills and never really thinking to scrutinize them until there's a sudden price hike and you may be paying, you know, double or triple what you initially signed up for. Picking up the phone and calling your company's customer service is one of the most effective ways to lower your rates. If you simply ask, often you'll get a better deal if you ask for the lowest available rate. If you sign another contract, you can get a lower rate. You can also ask why you're being charged extra fees. And sometimes these representatives can remove them or can tell you how to remove them, like, for example, buying your own equipment.
Now, you mentioned a lack of competition is an issue in some areas. But what kind of tools are available if people want to shop around and see what other services might be available in their area?
Broadband Now is a fantastic resource for comparison shopping. You plop in your zip code and it shows you all of the different providers that are available in your area, whether it's satellite cable or fiber optic. I do recommend that consumers also go directly to the provider's website to check whether or not their address is available because service can differ from street by street.
These rising prices and the effects on family budgets have caught the attention of the Biden administration. What is the administration proposing to help consumers?
On July 9th, the White House released an executive order that makes a recommendation to the FCC that helps protect broadband subscribers in several ways. One is reducing excessive early termination fees. Another is curbing landlord exclusive agreements with internet service providers that force tenants into only one option. And another is requiring transparent pricing so that consumers are able to comparison shop. These are essentially ways that the Biden administration is attempting to promote more competition in the broadband market.
You know, Nicole, when people are frustrated or feeling as if they're not getting good service, they sometimes say, I'm going to write a letter. So if they've had it with their rising cable bill, who would they write to?
this is a great point. After you've exhausted all of your options with customer service and are at the end of your line with your internet service provider, it's a good idea to file a complaint with two different regulatory bodies. One is the FTC, the other is the FCC, the Federal Trade Commission, and the Federal Communications Commission. Both are regulatory bodies that govern different things but have a similar goal, and both have consumer protective avenues where you can file an official complaint. Experts also say, you know, you should write to your state and local government if there are rules in your area that prohibit municipal networks, for example, which are government-owned fiber optic networks that research shows can lower the price of internet overall.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal personal technology columnist Nicole Wynn. Nicole, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal.